Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
That is only one way to rock.
Hard.
That's how we do it. Hard.
Hard. Hard.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Happy Saturday to all of you. Yes. Look at that beautiful thing right there. That is producer Casey.
Oh, good morning,
good
everybody.
Good morning. And that,
I thought it was going to be me.
I was half expecting it myself. Yeah.
Well, that hangover thing over there, look at that.
Oh, yeah, I got a story.
That's my partner, Steve Silva, right there, buddy.
It definitely was hard.
And together we are Your Weekly Dose Podcast.
Well, thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun and laughing.
Oh, my God, that's right. Laughing are the things we experience in everyday life. The embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, the fun things, and, of course, the naughty things.
I love the naughty things.
Me too.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human, and as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you are part of the show. So join the conversation. You can do that in several ways. Comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That's right. And guys, today we've got a busy, busy show for you. We've got sports with Oz Davis. We got listener emails. We'll be talking about Shatner, the Robin Williams screen test. It's also the 10 best I Love Lucy episodes and the best drinks that we make liqueurs with. And we have a new sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Now, you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose and, most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
That's right. Of course, today's theme song is There's Only One Way to Rock by the great Sammy Hagar, who recently had his birthday. That dude is like, what, 73, 74 now?
Ooh.
And still kicking ass.
Still
oh, my
rocks
God.
Hard. Yeah,
he does. Hard. He really does. He is not slowing down one bit at all. And so happy birthday, Sammy. That's one reason why we're playing this. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it is still Rocktober. So there you go. You have any Sammy Hagar songs that, like, are your favorites? Or, like, When Eagles Fly? Or maybe when he was in Van Halen?
Oh, Van Halen, yeah, I like a lot of Van Halen songs, like Jump and...
yeah, well, that wasn't Sammy, though.
Well, yeah.
Van Hagar, let's put it that way, then.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, like Pound Cake 2.0?
Specifically Sammy Hagar, no.
No? You just like it all? I'll listen to it all.
I don't know what his music is.
Oh, you
specifically with him.
You just crushed listener Don's heart right now.
I'm sorry, Don. Hey.
Yeah, last week she texted me because she's listening back to the shows again. She goes, finally, a good rock and roll song.
Yeah, there you go.
We played Def Leppard last week, so there we go. All righty, guys. Well, again, real quick, anytime we play any of our music or whatever, make sure that you go to our website, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark it, and then shop to your heart's delight. That way we get a little bit of money back. And definitely pick up
just
all those things.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, and make sure you pick up all of Sammy's music. I mean, good God, that man has such a career. Of course, not just with Van Halen, but as a solo artist, and then with the Wobberitas, and then now the band called The Circle, and everything. Just really, really great music all the way around. So jump on Amazon, use our banner, and download that music and anything
okay.
else.
I like Jump.
That's
he's
that.
Credited on that.
No, he's not.
I just right here, Sammy Hagar songs. Jump is the first one that comes up.
Really?
Yep.
That's funny because he did not write that. That was totally David Lee. Not
Hot for Teacher.
That's David Lee.
I like that.
That's David Lee.
And you know, oh, with Pound Cake.
Pound Cake. There you go. See, Pound Cake.
That's, yeah, but I think it's the 2.0.
2.0 version, of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. All right. Well, let's catch up with each other real quick. Alright, I'm going to go first this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to see a friend of ours this past week, and I didn't know what state you were in, kind of a thing. So I just thought, okay, I'm going to take the boy. And we went to go see our friend Aileen Quinn.
Yeah, I wanted to do that,
but
it was what, yeah. Tuesday night.
Yeah,
right?
It was Tuesday
yeah,
night.
I wasn't quite ready.
Yeah, yeah. So, good thing I didn't call you.
Yeah.
But yeah, Aileen says hello. By the way,
hello.
She is doing really well. The band did 4 sets that night. They played from
really?
5
oh,
to 9.
Man.
The dance floor again was packed up like you wouldn't believe. Her and the Leaping Lizards. I can't remember. Was there a sax player the last time we were there or no? I don't think so, huh?
It doesn't stick out.
Okay, so they had a sax player this time.
I love the sax.
Yeah, so they had a sax player this time. And yeah, just really, really good. They had a new DJ there for in between, mm-hmm. you know, the sets and everything. Really well. She says hello to you and I and everybody else.
Now, you know, you got to be careful because there's no sax before a fight.
That's true. There is. Love it. So, but she's going to come back. She's working on a book. And then, of course, also she's working on a new album with the Leaping Lizards.
Mm-hmm.
And so her and Tom are writing, even though Tom's in Arizona or whatever. So that's kind of weird. But so she's working on that. She's working on her book that she's got to get done. And then, of course, I think next year, she said it's the anniversary of a certain like 40th or 45th anniversary of Annie and everything.
Oh,
so
okay.
She's going to be doing a thing for that as well. So she's going to be busy. But she goes, because she saw me and Roman and was like, oh, Mike podcast people.
Yeah.
So it was just kind
of
cool.
Of course.
And yeah, so she's very excited and everything. And she's got a couple of dates coming up also, so we're going to try and get her in for that and help her promote some of the shows that she's got going on and everything. What? You okay?
No, I'm just glad I feel good finally.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, we will. So, anyway, but yeah, but she was, I mean, the band was great as usual, mm-hmm. you know. And if for you folks who don't know who we are talking about, it's Aileen Quinn and the Leaping Lizards. They are a rockabilly band. And if Aileen Quinn sounds familiar to you, well, the reason is because when she was a little girl, out of all the thousands of little redheaded girls that were chosen, she is the one that got chosen to play the starring role of Annie for the film version with Carol Burnett and Tim Curry. So, and she's a friend of ours, which is kind of neat. So, and I got to meet her when I worked with Kathy Rigby on her play, Peter Pan. And Aileen was played Toodles on that tour. So that's how I got to know Aileen. And then years later, we caught up again and what have you. And now she's a friend of the program. So love it.
She's so cool. She
yeah.
really is. So just all of them, the whole band, they are just so talented.
They're great players, yeah.
Just sitting there, closing your eyes and listening to them play and sing. It's mm-hmm. just like, it's amazing. It feels so good. And they're alive and they're good musicians. The whole package is amazing.
This time I'm thinking, okay, I could probably like kind of keep up with the drummer, you know, because it's swing. Swing is fairly easy. Yeah. And I'm not going, okay, I can kind of get, oh, he did, oh, yeah, hmm, yeah, okay, I'll just watch, you know.
That's not in my repertoire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I could come close. I could come close, but some of the stuff that he does, whatever, is pretty cool, too. So I'm just like going, yeah, I better sit in the audience.
I was really looking forward when we found out.
Yeah, because she's playing down in Irvine.
I was
Hangar 24. It's a great place, great
just
burger
didn't
place.
Make it.
Yeah, but yeah. So she says hello and everything. So
they even have a basketball court there.
Yeah,
just,
they
just
do.
Off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun place, a really fun place. There's restaurant bars around this area between business buildings. It's really cool.
It's kind of like
really
a fun zone kind of a thing.
Yeah,
is what it is. So yeah. But and then Janelle and I got to do the car show, so we performed at the car show last Sunday, so that was an awful lot of fun.
At the what?
We did a car show.
Car.
Yeah, you know what a car is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The things have been around.
Where was there a car show?
Over at Broken Timbers.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
No, you did.
I did.
Yeah. Because you asked me, hey. You know, what's going on with your show tomorrow? And I said, well, I got to leave it this time. You go, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to be with Mike.
Oh, that was, okay.
So,
Yeah.
So we had a good turnout. So played for a bunch of strangers this time, which was kind of nice.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people from the car show came in and listened to us. So it was really good. And so we kind of did the
Where
same.
Where was it?
At Broken Timbers.
It was that there in the parking lot?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was in the parking lot. So not too many people showed up for who brought out their cars, though, because I guess there was like two bigger ones the Saturday before.
Mm.
So they're saying, I was talking to one of the other owners of Broken Timbers. So he goes, when that happens, then less people come out for the Sunday ones. But I found out, though, they do have their car show. It's the second Sunday of every month that they kind of do it. So, which is kind of cool. So I go, oh, well, maybe we can play, you know, play it all the time.
Yeah, that's
be
a
the
ticket.
Entertainment. So we'll see what happens. So, yeah. So tell me about you falling down.
Well, I didn't fall down this time, but I was passed out drunk. After the show, I met my friend Mike at Silky Sullivan's, watched the Notre Dame
Love
game.
Love Silky's, yeah.
Then we went to his house and watched the championship fight. I keep forgetting the guy's name. Prince something. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't even know who the heavyweight champ is anymore.
Well,
boxing has been so out of touch, I think, since the Mike Tyson days. That was the last glory days, I think.
Yeah, that was the last time I had a lot to do it. I think when...
Buster Douglas beat him. That's the last guy I remember being the heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Okay, are we reverting back to Tuesday right now?
Tyson Fury.
Okay.
Tyson Fury, this big guy. He's got kind of a gut, but he's really big and, mm-hmm. and kind of powerful. And he fought this other guy who was leaner and quick.
Mm-hmm.
But Tyson Fury just took everything the other guy had, and the other guy just finally got tired, and then Tyson Fury still had enough to win the fight. So, it was interesting. It was a really good fight. It's been a long time since I've seen like a good heavyweight fight. They both knocked each other down.
Nice.
So it was like it was really good. It was really good, and everybody says, "Oh, they loved the fight." Loved
was
fight.
There any like taunting? Good taunting back and forth between the fighters? Like, come on, bring it up, bring it up.
No, it wasn't.
You know,
it wasn't
rope-a-dope.
Much like that.
A rope-a-dope kind of. You know.
Although that I saw a
you
video.
Never seen that?
Okay. I saw a video clip of Tyson Fury walking down the street, I guess wherever they were, and there was some street musician singing, and so Tyson Fury went over and he took the mic and he sang the song and stuff
oh,
like
that's
that.
Cool.
It's pretty cool. So he's a cool guy, you know. Yeah. He's gets
most,
out.
Most boxers
yeah,
are.
Yeah. So
you know.
And plus, he was probably happy he won the championship.
Yeah.
Anyway. Then in Sunday morning, we got up to go bar hopping to watch the NFL, and I didn't make it to the 5 o'clock game. I was gone by then, just
five
passed
sheets,
out.
Five sheets to the wind. Huh?
Oh my God,
or were you 10?
Was horrible. I had, like I said, it's been 3 years since that happened when I messed up my wrist. But I was actually sitting in Mike's, $80,000 Mercedes,
oh,
and
no.
I was passed out in the seat.
Oh no!
Luckily, I was leaning back, so I just threw up.
Ah!
And it like I don't really remember. I just have that vague like, what's that in my mouth? And, it went down the front of me and on my pants, and I was like, oh my god, this is gonna cost me.
Yeah.
I got out of the car, Mike helped me out and everything, and he goes, I don't know how you did it, Silva. You didn't get any of it on my car.
Wow.
I was sitting in the seat of the car. So
wow. That is talent, dude.
So, and it was only like yesterday where I started feeling better.
Wow.
So
just yesterday?
I was sick all week. I just like, I poisoned myself.
Wow.
So, you know, luckily it'll be at least another 3 years before that happens again.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm waiting for your 75th birthday.
To my defense, you know, because of the bars we went to, I had a lot of, like, pretty faces and huge boobs in my lap all the time.
You sure you didn't go to a strip bar?
So,
titties in your lap?
Yeah. Well, she came out.
That could be fun.
Mike knows all of these bartenders.
Where were you? The Middle East?
So they came out.
Middle West of it?
From behind the bar and giving us both hugs and stuff. And, oh, my God. It's like... And it's the worst thing I could be around because I just keep drinking. Like, yeah.
See, next time I gotta go with you guys just to watch.
Just to watch, yeah.
Just to watch.
Yeah. That's why I don't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sometimes more fun to do it that way.
I don't really drink that much anyway. So it's probably, it didn't take too much to get me because I don't drink other
like
than.
Like we used to.
Yeah, like we used to. I don't do that. So.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. That was me.
That sounds like a.
And I'm better now.
I'm glad you are. You are more awake today.
Oh, yes.
And I could tell that you're even so awake.
Yeah, there was even that text. It was indecipherable. I sent a text to Debbie.
Right.
And she was worried and called you, and I couldn't get a hold of her.
What was
a
this
while,
text? So. I need to know.
Oh, my gosh.
It is total gibberish.
It is. It's totally. It's it's two lines. It's I'mmudsinf. I'm mudsinf. H-T-O-U
hot
as O moo C has U heard D-B-O moosed.
You know, that sounds like it's a code for some kind of football thing or whatever.
It could be, or else it's the aliens who've taken over
something
my
like
brain.
You know who I think might just decipher that, though?
Who?
Our buddy Os Davis.
Well, of course, it was during the NFL ball games. Yeah.
Let's get that man connected. Os, how are you?
Yes, the classic, the pickup line of the 21st century is, I was on mute. You know, I don't know how I'm supposed to follow that amazing story about, you know, drippy vomit, but I wanted to ask first, Steve, were you partying with Urban Meyer? Were you there? You may be more qualified to do this segment.
He would have been drinking because he lost this last week.
He was having a few drinks. We'll be talking about that in just a second. But first, I did want to clarify this as well, since this is also sports related. The heavyweight champion of the world is Adonis Creed. Come on.
Well, Tyson Fury and this other guy was for a belt, for some kind of level.
So. Wow. I've lost total track of boxing. There's like five or six champs.
Yeah, that's so true. Hey, Os, I got a big question for you.
Okay.
How do you think the Cardinals are going to do on this next game series?
Oh, God. Well, they're going to win the series. I mean, we talked about disposable predictions on this last show. Let's just get right into it. You know, I had the Cardinals and the Yankees, and it's a good thing I didn't put any actual money on that because of this stupid play-in game. One game and they're out, right? They're both out.
Yeah.
And now, at this point when we're recording this podcast, we have four teams that everybody hates.
Oh, come on. We don't hate
them
all.
Seriously, okay. Here's what we've got.
We've got the Braves.
The Braves. Okay, the Braves are this team that has won their division since, you know, Ted Turner was crawling around in diapers. And somehow they've only won one World Series in the last, like, 33 years or something. What? Chokers.
Yeah, but still, hey, they're trying to make it in. They're going up against the Dodgers, though, you know. So, I mean, I got to give them credit for this. I mean, I don't hate them or anything. I'm not going, you know, they're good. They're a decent team. They got as far as they went. You know, I mean, look at the Angels. Angels only, what, one World Series in their whole existence also.
Yeah, well.
You know, and they haven't returned either since then. But, you know, so it's just taken them to the pennant several times.
Okay, so I was a bit harsh. I shouldn't say that everybody hates.
Yeah.
I should say that nobody likes.
Yeah. Now, the Red Sox and Astros, I'll agree with you on there.
Right. Right. You know. See, the Astros, we all know, you know, they're a bunch of cheaters.
That's
almost
right.
None of those players, except for Jose Altuve, who was involved in that kind of stuff, is still there. But screw it. We still hate them. They have a pennant and a World Series title that they shouldn't have.
Exactly.
You know, then there's the Red Sox. And it's like,
you got to dislike the Red Sox.
I was born and raised in New England, you know, for like 80 years. These folks whined. Now in the 21st century, their city wins a title every year in one of the sports. Yeah. You know, it's not the Celtics, it's the Red Sox, and it's always the Patriots.
Right.
So nobody wants these guys. The Dodgers, they're the defending champs. You know, the public perception is they bought the team. You know, nobody wants them to win.
Yes,
you
know, we do.
Yeah, but isn't that the way you win in professional sports now, is you buy the team?
Yeah, here's an extra 20.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure. Okay. Sure. That's
all right. So let's talk real quick. Talk about then, Oz. Who do you think is going to take each of the series? Do you think Red Sox is over Astros or the way around, or Dodgers over Braves? How do you think it's going to end up?
Yeah, I'm doing that. I'm doing the Red Sox against the Dodgers right now. And I'm even going to go so far as to say that Mookie Betts is going to be the series MVP. You know, it's not just a revenge thing. In fact, it's not a revenge thing at all. But the truth is, as good as he was for the Red Sox, he was hitting something like 30 points higher in Fenway, where, guess what? There's going to be three games. So, you know, I can't – I think Dodgers – I mean, here are the Dodgers. They won 102 games, and they have to do this stupid play-in thing and all that. I mean, they're the best team remaining. They knocked off the Giants. Nicely done there. Yeah. So I think it's got to be the Dodgers.
Okay. So Dodgers all the way then to the series again?
Yep.
No matter who
– not hoping.
Okay. Gotcha. So no matter who, whether they go up against the Red Sox or the Astros, it's going to be Dodgers then.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be the Red Sox too.
Okay. All right. Awesome. NBA, what's going on with there, buddy?
Oh, well, NBA. Well, we all know that the Lakers are going to be the champs this year.
I hate the Lakers, though. There's that L.A. team.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
Bite your tongue. I honestly think from the outside, it really looks like, or from an outsider coming in, it sometimes looks like the only team with a real fan base in Los Angeles, Orange County is the Lakers. I mean, it really does. Yeah. There's a lot of bandwagon fans here, especially when it comes to teams like the Kings or the Ducks in hockey, the Angels, you know, when they're rarely good, you know, all of a sudden everybody's an Angels fan.
Well, it took a Dodger to make the Angels good, though.
Right. There's a lot of fair weather fans out here. Along that same note, I'm going to apologize to some of the fans out here a little bit later. But talking about basketball, to me, the great story that's coming up these days is this whole thing about Kyrie Irving not wanting to get the vaccine, and therefore he'll only be playing home games for the Brooklyn Nets this season, at least to start the season. And the funny thing for me is he wants to be a spokesman for people who don't want to necessarily take the vaccine, but yet this is famously the same guy who believes in the flat earth.
Oh, wow.
I mean, isn't this basically an endorsement for vaccination? You know, it's absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw something yesterday actually regarding that whole thing too with him, and where somebody was arguing, you know, geez, why are we doing this with him when we let Magic Johnson at, you know, way back when play with HIV at the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like, what's the difference now between this and that kind of a thing?
Well, you remember, okay, this is an interesting one because, all right, so Magic resigned, right? He retired when he heard that news. And then there were these different rules that went into place, and we still have them now. Stuff like when a player has an exposed cut, that's an immediate timeout. He has to come off the floor and cover that up. That's because of Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's because... Yeah, yeah, that came up at that time. They're like, okay, so the only possible way, because, you know, HIV was very mysterious. It wasn't like COVID.
Right.
COVID is just a mutation of an older thing. HIV came out of nowhere, and it hides very well. It disguises itself as other things very well, right? So they weren't quite sure what was going on, but they learned very early that the only possible way you could transmit it in a basketball game would be blood to blood. Right. So that's when they did the cover up the cuts rule. And there were a couple of other rules as well instigated at that time because of the AIDS thing. Right. But I mean, what are you going to do about the virus? OK, what you do is you test before the games, you know, yeah, and if yeah. you're positive, you're out. But the thing is, like, because the U.S. is so state to state, you know, he can't travel with the team.
Right.
He can't travel with the team. And, you know, he's supposed to be part of a big three on a championship contender that has maybe the best player in the world, Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. who is awesome. He is expected to be awesome again this year. He almost single-handedly won him the title last year. You know, he's supposed to be there, and automatically he's not there for, like, half the games.
Do you think it's going to hurt his career that much, though? Or is it going to be like, okay, it's going to be one thing out of one year that was a low point for him during his whole tenure?
I don't think that. Well, here's the thing. He was rookie of the year with Cleveland when they had nobody. LeBron comes back. They win the title on his shot. By the way, he made one of the great clutch shots in NBA Finals history. They win the title. They finally get LeBron the title in Cleveland. And since then, you know what? In terms of talent, he's still top 12, top 15 mm-hmm. in the league. But it's just like, wow, he's inconsistent. He's flaky. He gets injured once in a while. You know,
sounds like a typical musician.
Comes up with bizarre notions. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is said that every NBA player wants to be a hip hop star, and every hip hop star wants to be an NBA player, right? Well, here you go.
Yeah.
Here's Kyrie living the hip-hop weird belief yeah. lifestyle.
Yeah. All right. And moving on, we got NHL stuff. NHL season is now starting, right?
Yeah. Now, I know extremely little about hockey, except that it's awesome to watch. And the NHL is one of the highest concentrations of talent in any sports league in the world, I also believe. But the main thing for me is that, hey, the greatest mascot ever, I think, has been introduced into the NHL, the Seattle Kraken. Definitely the best name since the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I like that.
Release
the Kraken.
Exactly. Yeah. It so lends itself to logos and you know, slogans like that. And you know what I like about it, too, is it's based on this Scandinavian mythology.
Right.
But so often nowadays, we see it in these science fiction settings or these fantasy settings, like it was most recently in the Pirates of the Caribbean,
right?
The Johnny Depp mm-hmm. series.
Yeah,
they have the Kraken in there, and it's just like, it's so great because in the 21st century, I think that, you know, the geeks have won. The geeks have won. Science fiction is everywhere. Comic books are everywhere. Like, fantasy is everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
We won. Back in the 80s, you would have been beaten up for watching Doctor Who. You know, now you're the cool person.
You know? Yes, so, I am.
But where does the Kraken come from with Seattle?
Because they're right there on the coast.
Okay, so? See, that's the thing.
That's the ocean.
It comes from North mythology, right? And the thing is, like, some of the best players in the world are Swedish, you know, Norwegian, like this. And I honestly think that it's kind of a nod to them as well.
I don't see the tie to Seattle, though. I don't get...
It's just something that they picked.
Yeah.
San Diego, let's put it this way. San Diego could have done the same thing, because San Diego is like a harbor town kind of a thing, where like you can't say L.A. because L.A. is more inland, because there's another city that's before that, which So Seattle is right there on the coast, so it's right there on the ocean. So that's what I'm thinking. I don't know.
It doesn't really have anything.
I'm like, Scandinavian mythology.
Well, they
in Seattle, apparently.
The Kraken is just a cool monster type thing.
That
so you know,
kick
it's
your
like,
ass.
And the NHL likes that image.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Casey. You're coming from a place whose primary team is called the Lakers. Right? Oh, you mean all the Great Lakes in Los Angeles? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was
team names don't have to make sense.
Yeah, well, it made sense when they were in Minnesota.
Right.
Exactly.
That's how they
got it. Same way with the Dodgers.
Yeah, Dodgers,
right, but
too.
This is just a created team, isn't it? Didn't they just come up with this
They just made
a
new team.
Right, so it used to make sense, and now it doesn't. That makes sense because that migrated. Mm-hmm. They just came up with this, and it doesn't make sense off the get-go.
It's just cool.
You're raining on my parade, right? Steve's got the idea.
I'm filling Zach's role efficiently then.
Yeah.
Now, I have something to bring up that's really kind of strange, and we'll see how it pans out the next couple of years. Apparently, Jamaica has a goal of having a NHL team in 2026. Jamaica.
Wow.
They could be the Rastas.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Whoa. They have a big joint, be their mascot. Wow.
Just a layer of smoke on the ice every game.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, the arena sponsorship would be amazing. I know a few dispensaries around town here.
Because everybody's going to have the munchies.
Well, you can see the stadium after the game. It opens up. It'd be like Spicoli's van when they're at school. It opens up and the smoke just pours out.
Well, that was the story about when they legalized, or rather I should say decriminalized, marijuana in Colorado.
Yeah,
is that there was a dispensary right next to Coors Field, right?
Oh, wow.
And so people were lining up and loading up on the edibles and just going into the game and just going, dude, the Rockies are awesome. You know? It's just like, you know, because that's the only way the Rockies could be awesome is if you're totally blasted. And I can say that because I am a long-suffering Rockies fan. So
there you go.
Very cool.
But yeah, there's a whole cottage industry there, potentially. I don't know. You can't really smoke inside the hockey arena, but again, edible up, guys.
There we go. That's the way to do it, Oz.
Woo-hoo.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, Steve knows better. So, cool. Oz, thank you again for joining us, buddy. I really appreciate it. And we'll catch you in about 2 weeks, bud.
Yeah, catch you then.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Have a great sport.
Take care, Oz. Awesome. Alrighty. And don't forget, you guys catch Oz also on his network. Was it Sports? Shoot, what's the name of it? Sports Trivia Network? I think is what it is. I forgot. I didn't write it down. Damn it, I forgot. But we'll send the link. We got the link for it to get to Oz's website and everything. Mm-hmm. Where he's got all these. He's got about three other different types of sports broadcasts going on, too. So it's really, really cool. So appreciate that. Alrighty. Should we do our sponsor?
Well, of course.
All right.
You know,
no.
With things starting to open up slowly, it seems that businesses everywhere will be needing new signs.
Well, not just new businesses, but how about bands needing new merchandise, companies needing new canopies for conventions?
Well, where does one go for printing merchandise?
Wow, relapse.
Where does one go for printing stuff? Simple. Go where we go, Stranger Prince.
Stranger Prince is the official merchandise printer for your weekly dose. They do all of our shirts that we give away, but that's not all they do.
Yes, they do so much more, like table covers, canopies, graduation signs and banners, regular signs and banners, stickers, slip mats for DJs, backdrops, sport jerseys, and more!
So for all of your printing needs, for merchandise, go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Just go to StrangerPrints.com for your information and prices.
That's right, Stranger Prints, and tell.com and tell them your weekly dose sent you. Because, damn it, we're trying.
Yeah, Stranger Prints, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There's another of those helicopters, those big transport helicopters have been flying over.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
All righty.
So what do we got now?
Good job. Oh, you know what? We got some emails we need to read.
Oh, that's right.
We got some emails here.
So. Oh, yeah, we're trying to find the right music for the Venmo email segment.
Yeah, Venmo.
Venmo, oh, okay.
Letters, we get letters, we get letters almost every
day, every single day, getting some mail, got some letters.
What word am I looking for? It's so brash, so in your face, you know.
I know.
We get letters.
Okay. I feel like we should just try the "You've got mail." Ting,
ting. Oh yeah, from the movie.
Because it's not letters anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
We're old school.
Do we have email music? Something light and airy, or
I don't know.
Anyway,
we can probably find something.
You know, I think it's important to have music, you know, fill our lives. And I'll continue on and see.
Yeah. Real quick, though.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's real good. Yeah, we can go back to that. October 13th?
Yes.
2018?
Yes.
We had producer Ted in this room.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm leaving the picture right now on our Facebook.
All right.
Producer
That's cool.
Ted. Yeah.
There we go.
Hello, Producer Ted. We miss you, buddy. Hope things are going well.
Really? Okay.
All right, go ahead. Sorry, Steve.
Here we go. Dear Sean.
Yeah.
I must say that I thought I knew my music history, but sometimes you have some really cool stories and facts about certain people, like Trini Lopez. Wow. I heard his name from time to time from my folks, but in your recent replay of you guys interviewing him, made me want to look up the man. Come on, guys. Syntax. Not only did I get some of his CDs when he was popular, but it made me appreciate a style of rock and roll I never heard before. Now I understand why for a few episodes it was Trini this and Trini that, and why you went to Vegas. Makes me wonder who you're going to make me listen to now. Listen to Dave. That's awesome, Dave.
Oh,
I love it. Yeah.
Let's see. Who do I want to get? I know who.
Yes.
One of my other favorites is Tie Yellow Ribbon guy, Tony Orlando. Gotta get Tony Orlando on
the
show.
And Dawn.
Well, if we can get both girls, great, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I'd rather get Thelma, though. she's been more active, you know, as an actress.
Keep her away from Louise. Okay.
That's kind of cool. All right.
Yeah. Listener Dave. Okay. This is from listener Becky. Hi, Becky. Okay. Dear Steve and Sean, I just wanted to thank you guys for introducing me to that author you had on who wrote those horror stories, Stacy Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
How cool is this?
Oh, yeah, Stacy.
I know Halloween won't be for a while, but I went out to pick up one of the books, and as I am a fan of horror. Wow. These are some great reads, and I can't wait to go through the series. That's listener Becky about our friend Stacy. That's really cool. Okay. Steve. Uh-oh. How could you leave Sean alone for a month? Well, anyway, do you know how boring that was for us to listen to? Hallelujah. Okay. I don't know if we can ever recover from that. Oh, wait. Paul stepped in. Yeah, he's pretty funny. Okay. You can go on another vacation for a month. Listener Donnie. Thank you, Donnie. I appreciate the
The backhanded compliment.
Yeah. Plus, I can go away for another month. Where should I go? I have to think about that.
Colorado.
Yeah. Okay, listener Michelle says, I don't care what people or polls say about pizza toppings. Pineapple does, in capitals, does not belong on a pizza, period. Listener Michelle. Okay. There you go. A lot of people think that. Yeah.
Pineapple does not go on pizza.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, guys. You know, some people can be so dumb and short-minded. Of course, pineapple goes on a pizza, especially one called a Hawaiian pizza. Hello, listener Gary. Michelle's husband.
I saw that. I'm like,
I love it. Oh man, it's almost like
So Michelle has good taste in pizza, but
bad taste in
men.
It's sort of a pina colada song moment there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And the last one. Hey, Steve and Sean, or Sean and Steve, I guess I'll put you first. Oh my God. I totally remember Hydrox cookies as a kid. Yes, I agree with Sean that they are way better than that other brand who's now hiding them from us. Wow. I learned so much about grocery stores and placement in the stores because of that episode. Now I'm on the hunt for Hydrox cookies.
Yes, you are.
Listener Kim.
Hey, thank you, Kim. Appreciate it. Yes. That means Kim and I grew up together. And Hydrox cookies. Go get your Hydrox. Put your Hydrox on. Mm.
And that's our listener emails.
They're healthier for you, too.
Letters! We get letters! We get letters almost every day.
Every single, every day. Every single day. Getting some mail. Got some letters.
You know, for many years, Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees has always described what has happened to the Monkees, where, you know, it was a fictitious band becoming a real band. He's always explained that it was kind of like if Leonard Nimoy actually became a Vulcan. Well, to a degree, that has now happened because the great Captain Kirk has gone into space.
That is so awesome.
And, you know, I remember, Chuck Yeager? Who was the one? No, Glenn.
John Glenn.
When he went up in the shuttle. Mm-hmm. You know, that was such a historic flight because also at that point, it was him returning to space. And that plus, at that moment, he was the oldest person to be in space.
Yes.
Now, some actor from Hollywood.
Isn't always the actors.
Kind of talks like this, but not really. If you ever really listen to him, never talks like this. But everybody imitates him like that. I don't know why. He doesn't even know why. But anyway, William Shatner, though, is now the oldest man in space. That's going to go down in the history books. How crazy is that?
For now.
Yeah.
For now. I mean, the last oldest individual to go to space was 86.
And was that John Glenn?
Or? I'm not sure, actually. I'd have to look that up again.
Okay.
But yeah, 86 and then 90. Mm-hmm. So now we just need to find somebody 94, 95.
Right. Steve?
And shoot them right
I'm up. Ready.
Well, cool. Well, we've got a little clip. If you guys didn't watch it on CNN or anywhere on television, you missed something really cool. The rocket went up. It was beautiful. They were up there for like, 11 minutes? I think it was something like that. Come back down, and I didn't know where they were going to land, but they landed in the desert. And I'm watching, like, going, oh, what's this landing going to be like? And they hit pretty hard on the ground because there was this big and dust everywhere and what have you. You know, but they were all safe and everything and all worked out. And I think we've got a clip of them talking to William Shatner about this whole experience.
Everybody in the world needs to be... Everybody in the world needs to see the time. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, you know, the little things, the weightlessness. But to see the blue cover whip by, and now you're staring into blackness. That's the thing. The covering of blue, this sheet, this blanket, this comforter of blue that we have around. We think, oh, it's blue sky. And then suddenly you shoot through it all of a sudden, as so though you whip off a sheet off you when you're asleep, and you're looking into blackness, into black ugliness. And you look down, and there's the blue down there, and the black up there, and it's just, there is Mother and Earth and comfort, and is there death? I don't know. Is that death? Is that the way death is? Whoop, and it's gone. Jesus. It was so moving to me. This experience is something unbelievable. You see, yeah, you know, weightless, my stomach went up, and this is so weird, but not as weird as the covering of blue. This is what I've never expected. Oh, it's one thing to say, oh, the sky and the thing and the fragile thing. It's all true. But what isn't true, what is unknown until you do it, is there's this pillow. There's this soft blue. Look at the beauty of that color. And it's so thin. And you're through it in an instant. It's what a how thick is it? We know.
I mean, the atmosphere.
Is it a mile? Two
no,
miles?
I mean, it's, I mean, it depends on how you measure because it thins out. But maybe
the blue. The blue is so blue. And the blue. And you go through the blue. And then when you get through the blue, there's black. And
black.
Blue. It's like blue on black.
And then we hit some turbulence and I got black and blue.
Yeah.
Oh, the blue.
I just love how he kept repeating himself on that whole thing, though. But, I mean, obviously this was just an experience for him. And I think it's going to be an experience for anybody. And he is now in an elite club. He is considered, you can call him an astronaut now. Mm-hmm. You really can. And it, to me, it's like, I think having that experience is no different than seeing something that you've only seen on TV. And you're there and you see it, and there it is for you in real life. You know, mm-hmm. it's very surreal. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the Grand Canyon or whether it's visiting Washington, D.C., and you're looking at the White House or the Lincoln Memorial or whatever, you know. It's very surreal, you know, and for to have that kind of experience.
Especially someone with his past with, you know, Star Trek and everything.
And like pretending you're in space.
Just, yeah, spending all those years, you know, in the great beyond, but then at one point in your life, actually getting to go there.
Right.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, and in you know, and to see, and I think one of the cool things that Ron Howard did, I think in the movie Apollo 13, is there's a shot where they're looking out the window, and you do see that change of blue into space, mm-hmm. you know, and I remember seeing that for the first time. That shot, going, that's probably what it's like, kind of a thing. You're going, holy cow, you know. And I got to experience what it's like to be on the space shuttle launch, because I took a trip to Florida and we went out to Cape Canaveral, the Kennedy Space Center there, and they have a simulator. And at first I was like really nervous. At first I was all gung ho. I was like, oh yeah, it's just gonna be this and that. And then you're watching a film of all these past shuttle astronauts.
Mm-hmm.
Go, oh yeah, man, this is like the closest thing to being like on the shuttle. Oh fuck, wait a minute. I just had a taco. I don't know if I want to go on there. I don't know if I want to go on there now. But you know what? It wasn't that bad, but it was definitely amazing to even have that simulation and to have that that sense of what those G's
mm-hmm.
are going to feel like, you know. So for him to actually experience it, though, you know, and to have as windows as big as they were versus what NASA normally gives you, which is a little tiny little thing.
I thought it was really cool how he explained that as like a sheet being ripped away.
Yeah.
You know, because you kind of think the analogy of that, the metaphor between that is really cool. Talking about this, the atmosphere being like a security blanket,
right.
You know, for people here on Earth. And he just ripped through that. And he's right. It is unknown.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we haven't gotten much farther. We haven't even, when was the last, we haven't been to the moon in...
Well, was it 72, I think?
Yeah, yeah. And launching, you know, 72. Machines and monkeys and poor dogs and whatever else. I don't think that counts. Mm.
Yeah.
And cars. Sorry, Elon.
Yeah. But it's
still floating around out there.
It is. It's constantly going. But, I mean, yeah, to see that thing, I mean, to have him experience that and to come back, even though you're at the... Just a small little section. Not even the opportunity to orbit the Earth, though. You know, not to get that high, but to get out there and to see space, to see that blackness, to go, holy shit! You know, look, there's a constellation. Wait a minute, hold on. Where did all these other stars come from?
And it's really cool. The Star Trek, a lot of things that were thought of in the show for Star Trek are now real.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them. And it's just a really cool thing for him to keep seeing these things that were built out of an imagination become reality. And this is just one more thing that he has seen become real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very surreal for him. Here you know, you're playing this actor in space and these fantasy things or whatever, you know, and now all of a sudden you get to actually go see it, not just look at a picture, look at it on film. The way many of us do, but you're experiencing it, and it's got to change your life, man.
Yep. And cool side note, it was the first interracial kiss on television.
Yes, but they didn't use the French method, though.
No, I don't think so.
Which was sad. Yeah. Which was sad. But it was, yeah.
I would have been all right with that, too.
The Hungarian.
Oh, her, huh?
The Hungarian.
So, well, congratulations to William Shatner. You know, very, very cool guy. You know, and for him to do that, you know, that... At 90, man, that's ballsy, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because you got to be healthy to do all that stuff, too. So, and anyway. So, I've got something here for you guys, too, that I thought was very interesting. So, this actor decided to do a screen test, I guess, on himself, whatever, to see how people would react or whatever. And what he chose, because he kind of resembles him a little bit, but this actor resembles Robin Williams, and did a screen test of Robin back in his Mork and Mindy days when he first, became known to us, you know, nationally on television and everything. And it's really interesting. It's really cool. And it's just this little stuff that he put together. And now people are raving about it and hoping that now it becomes something, you know.
Yeah, biopic.
Yeah.
That's what they're really hoping for.
Which is funny because there was a 2005 movie that already came out dealing with all of that. So it's like, did we forget about that?
Shazbot.
I just don't think we had somebody that pegged him as perfectly as what Jamie here has been able to do.
Yeah, I mean, the other actor who did that 2005 film, because that was based on one of Robin's autobiographies. It was good, but yeah, you know it's not Robin Williams. You know, nobody can be Robin. But this new actor, though, he comes pretty darn close.
For someone who grew up with Robin Williams, as nostalgic as a child, you know, Robin was all I knew, and Toyston, all kinds of, what was he in? He was Hook, he was in Mrs. Doubtfire. I mean, my entire childhood was filled with Robin Williams.
Well, how do you think I feel?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I watched Robin for the first time on Happy Days, and then have it become a spinoff of Mork and Mindy. So I was there at the beginning of this whole thing. So when Robin passed, believe me, it hit me hard.
Yeah.
You know, especially knowing all the stuff he's done, serious and comedic and everything. But I think one of his greatest roles was being the Aladdin and Genie.
Yeah.
The Genie in Aladdin.
Aladdin, right? Thank you. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, I think he just really hits a lot of the nostalgic, iconic characteristics and mannerisms that that Robin used to have.
But this guy, this actor, what is his name?
Jamie Costa.
Okay. I thought he did a really good job on this. And this is supposedly a screen test kind of a thing. So let's go ahead and play some of this.
Oh, calling Orson. Come here, Orson.
Robin?
I gotta try another thing here. More calling Orson.
There's something I can tell.
Come in, your fatitude!
Mother!
Hello, Orson.
Falling asleep on the job again, Mother.
No, your immenseness. Just working on my report on dreams.
Dreams?
Well, dreams are a beautiful aspect of human culture. In fact, it happens when you're at night and you close your eyes and all kinds of images happen, and it's really bizarre.
Well, let's try this one. Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask Cinderella, she might sing it to you and say,
Robin?
A dream is a wish your heart...
Robin! Could you give us a moment?
Dobbs? It's about that fart earlier. Sorry about that. Won't happen again. What?
John Belushi died last night.
What?
They found him in his bungalow this morning.
I told you I was with him.
I know. They found him.
John's not dead. I was with him last night.
I know you were. I'm so sorry, Rob.
No. Not John. Did they say anything like... Like how he died.
You know, Robin. Hey. Look at me. I can't let what happened to him happen to you.
No. It won't.
I can't. If it did, Rob, I would find you and kill you first.
Sounded like James Bond just then.
Name Stomps. Pam Stomps.
You know you don't have to go out there.
I think I do, Pam. Thanks.
So good. I mean, the guy captures Robin's mannerisms, even his breathing. If you watch interviews with Robin when he gets serious and plays and this and that and everything, he's definitely able to capture all of that. So, I mean, I don't know what is going to transpire of something of this nature. You know, yeah.
It's really strange. I have to yell because she has me ticking.
I know.
Gotcha.
Okay, there I am.
Sorry, yay. You're restricted with your water bottle.
Yeah, I know. it crackles.
Yeah. Say it again, though. What were you going to say?
It's just a lot of things have happened in all of our lives. You know,
mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff. How people carry on is an individual thing. And to see Robin Williams being portrayed, you know, that way and like, well, I'm going to go on. And then, but then years later, knowing he didn't go on. Really strange. You know, he was talented and did a lot of stuff, but he wasn't able to continue on it. And you just don't know how things are going to affect you in the long run. You know, you may be able to say, okay, I'm okay now. I can do this. But there's always stuff going on in the back of your mind that is just eating away and eating away. And for people like Robin Williams, it just ate its way through and he disappeared too. So, you can't... what I was looking at, the way he was and with the expressions of that, he really portrayed him very well.
I mean, he's really studied him.
There were a couple times I'm like, wait a minute, have they got to that clip yet? Is this really Robin? You know,
it's right. Just,
but that's the thing. Life is so fleeting. Life is just so, I don't know, unpredictable. You know, you may think you have a plan, but that's only your plan. And you're the one that has to see it through. And it's not always a doable thing, unfortunately.
Yeah. I kind of had a rough week. Actually, the past 2 weeks have been a little bit rough because I've been, my unemployment stopped. And so I'm not getting the checks anymore. And, you know, so I got to get back into the workforce somehow. And I'm trying to figure that out. You know, and it's tough because I don't want to be in the general public that much, even though I'm going out and performing in this and that or whatever. Yes, I'm vaccinated, but I'm still trying to be cautious, though, nonetheless, and trying to figure out, you know, what jobs are out there for me right now that I can do and that are going to bring me the income that I used to have.
Yeah. Well,
and some of them are not there still. You know, and yeah, I see certain things being hired, you know, Costco or Target or whatever. I'm 51. I don't think I can do retail anymore. I did 10 years at Guitar Center and another, you know, 4.5 at another company, you know, doing retail. So, you know, I've got 14 years under my belt. Retail, I can't do it anymore, you know, and I've got to find something different to do. You know, and this week was a bit of a struggle because I'm sending out resumes, you know, and some of the resumes or whatever, after I send them out, they go, okay, you're the 156th person.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. Never mind. You know, kind of a thing. But like you said, you got to keep moving forward no matter what. And that's one thing that I've got to realize that I've got to do. Otherwise, I'm going to get sucked down in again where I don't want to be, you know, and it's tough, and with Robin and knowing what he went through, you know, I don't know what he was thinking that night, going into that morning, you know, and I've seen a couple of documentaries on him and what actually happened, and his medical condition of everything, and then being diagnosed with. Possibly, I think it was like Alzheimer's or something or whatever. And, you know, to have him hit all these things at once, you know, what could have gone through his mind, you know, it's tough. It is tough. But, you know, for this actor to portray that, you know, talented, for sure, it brings us back to those days.
Yeah, that really, it brought out the poignancy of Robin Williams' life. Just that one scene, it brought out how, you know, okay, well, I have to keep going.
And not only that, though, but that was the turning point for him when Belushi died, because he had to testify in court about it and everything. And, you know, and he goes, that's when I had to change my life of what I was doing. I couldn't do what I was doing at the time. You know, I couldn't be high all the time off cocaine or this or that or whatever. And I had to sober up, you know. And so, I mean, it's a very interesting scene that he picked to do, though, overall. Very, very interesting. Yeah, I know a lot of people have been sending it, that clip, over to
Zelda
and everything, and she's kind of like going, okay, enough, I get it, you know, it's my dad, you know, what have you. So I know she's kind of put off by it a little bit, but I think it's just the overwhelmingness of it.
Yeah, and her dad at, like, its darkest moment.
One of his darkest moments, basically, you know. But we never know that was his darkest moment because he was always up all the time, you know. But that was Robin, you know. He didn't like to be serious that many times, you know. And I've had the opportunity to meet the man twice. And yeah, he was very quiet at times, but then when he wanted to perform, boy, that switch came on, and holy crap. You know, you talk about just going on for days and days and days and days and days and days, it seems like. And the information that he would pull out from his head was just phenomenal. You know, but kudos to this guy for trying to, you know, get something done. Very, very interesting. You know, and of course, we all miss Robin tremendously. Mm. So, speaking of comedians, we've got something here for you guys. I think I've got something on the one of the blue buttons there. Yeah, Ricky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So today is I Love Lucy Day. A lot of people like her. Is it playing or no?
I don't know if you want me to hit it.
Yeah, there you go. So,
Hey, Lucy, I'm home.
Oh, Ricky, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Ricky.
I figured I gotta play this one. So, were you an I Love Lucy fan?
Oh, yeah.
You liked her an awful lot?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How about you? Casey, did you ever, like, watch the reruns or?
Yes.
A fan of hers or not really?
Yeah, iconically. I never, like, went out of my way to watch I Love Lucy, but I often reference it oftentimes. Any time Mateo has done something, I'm like, you got some splaining to do.
See, then we would come back with a Princess Bride line. No time to explain. Sum up.
I'll sum up.
So here we go. Here is the 10 highest rated episodes of I Love Lucy. Are there any for you that you think might that stick out?
There are two.
Okay, which two do you think?
One is the candy. They got a job in a candy thing, and a woman mm-hmm. comes in and says, I'll speed it up a little, and they're putting them in their hat and their mouth. And the other was, it's got to be Vegemite. It might have been. Vegemite.
You hit the number three and the number one.
Ah.
Yep, so job switching is what the episode was, where basically what the whole episode is, Ricky and Fred are doing with Lucy and Ethel's careless spending, or they're done with their endless spending here, while the women are fed up with the boys for thinking that taking care of a house is easy. So they switch roles is what happens. So the girls go to work in the candy factory, mm-hmm. while the men are trying to clean the house, whatever. And, of course, there is, the iconic of the trying to put the candy everywhere and what have you and so forth. So very, very funny scene. And you got to think about it. I mean, like, you don't see that kind of stuff nowadays.
Mm-mm.
You know.
It was just, it's a simple thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not humor. Really good humor doesn't always have to be complex.
Right.
Simple stuff just really affects us.
Right. And so, and then you said the Vita Vita measurement.
Uh huh.
Okay.
So there's one more that was fun is when they went to Italy and
okay.
she.
Okay. All right. So that was number four. No, the Italy one. Okay. So Lucy does a TV commercial that was in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And is the highest rated. It got a 9.6 of the, and it's the highest rated of all the episodes in the entire catalog. Lucy was working her way onto Ricky's special as a pitch girl, and here she is asked to show off her tremendous, this trendy medicine known as Vita Vita Vegemite. And though Lucy believes this is some crazy health product, it was actually a booze drink, is what it was. And of course,
a bit of alcohol.
She gets drunk on the air. So, and that's the whole thing. And yeah. I mean, that's such a classic bit, basically. The other one you were talking about is Lucy's Italian movie.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lucy gets lucky on a train ride to Rome when she's offered a role in an American tourist in the movie directed by, Torino Felipe in Italy. The title of the film is called Bitter Grapes, which Lucy takes quite literally. Mm-hmm. So to prepare for the role, she goes off into a tiny town to learn the art of winemaking. This leads to a lot of good old-fashioned grape crushing, where she's stomping in the barrel, of course. And there's a part of it where she actually kicks the lady, and she falls down. That was not supposed to happen.
And a lot. Yeah, they just went at it after that.
And they just kept going.
Yeah.
And they just kept rolling the cameras. And she falls in the vat and gets back up and
all
starts
fighting and wrestling. And
and the thing is that the lady that she's with wasn't actually an Italian, you know, grape crusher kind of thing, you know, the old way, and didn't know what Lucille Ball was doing and they actually got into it, is what
they
it
did,
was.
Yeah. They really did. It was did. All just real.
Yeah. Yeah. So you go back and watch that, you're going, oh, shit, yeah. that was a hard hit. That was a pretty hard hit.
Oh, my God. That was funny.
Okay. Any other ones that you can think of?
There was one where she gets trapped in a shower, but I think that might have been in the later years.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Anything from you, Casey, that you remember to kind of stick out?
No, not particularly.
Okay. All right, let's break it down for you guys. Where are we at on time, by the way?
11:11. Make
okay.
a wish.
Okay. Ooh.
I know. Okay. Where's our dreamscape?
I wish Casey would tell me the weather.
Sunny. It's sunny outside.
Yep, everything's up. Thank you. All right, here we go. So we're breaking it down. Ethel's hometown. This is in season 4. Lucy and the gang basically are visiting the hometown of her best friend Ethel. Upon arriving in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Lucy, however, is pulled into an elaborate lie, which she convinces the residents that she is the star of a Hollywood movie. As it turns out, her husband Ricky is actually the star. And despite the earlier mix-up, Lucy and Ricky decide to team together. Their goal was to sabotage a giant performance that Ethel had planned. That fucking sucks. All right. Number 9, Lucy and Harpo Marx.
Oh, yeah, they did the mirror thing.
Right. So Harpo Marx basically was famous to doing the mirror routine in the 1933 film Duck Soup. They basically recreate it, mm-hmm. is what it is.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Number 8 was Lucy and Superman.
I vaguely remember
okay,
that.
Okay, so this is season 6. Lucy and Caroline have birthday wars after they schedule parties on the same day. Ricky tells Lucy that Superman is in the area, so Lucy tries to recruit him for little Ricky's party in an attempt to draw a larger crowd. Unfortunately, this doesn't work. And Ricky also fails to convince the hero to show up. This has Lucy taking the role upon herself. And thankfully, the real Superman eventually shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah, towards the end.
Yeah.
Number 7, the freezer. So basically, Lucy and Ethel decide they want to save a little extra cash by buying a walk-in freezer and filling it with beef to protect themselves from the ever-rising prices of meat. The problem comes when the women order way more beef than they can handle and must figure out how to hide it from their husbands.
They don't realize just how big a side of beef is.
Yeah. Exactly. And Lucy basically gets locked inside the freezer is what it is. Okay, here's one with another famous star. Number 6 was Lucy and John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Okay, so this one basically is where Lucy steals the footprints and handprints of John Wayne at Grauman's Chinese Theater. And then, of course, she breaks it. Now they have to try and replace it and try to make John Wayne replicate the whole thing. Yeah. And it's done several times throughout the TV show.
He was such a good sport.
Yeah, he was. He was. The number 5 is the Great Train Robbery. I don't remember this one, though. Lucy is enjoying a leisurely train ride back to New York until she hears that there's a jewelry thief on board. When she finds a man nearby her in possession of a lot of high-quality jewelry, she automatically assumes he's the culprit. As it turns out, he's just a jeweler. Mm-hmm. The actual jeweler thief tries to help her frame the jeweler, and Lucy's stealing back some of the diamonds in the process. So, question number 4 was the Italian movie. Number 3 was Job Switching. Number 2 was Hollywood at Last. So this is season 4. It has the gang arriving in California, hoping to spot some celebrities. Lucy requests to go to the Brown Derby for lunch, where she spots the famous Bill Holden. Starstruck, Lucy stares at the man, only to have him flip around and embarrass her, which is a really funny scene. The real trouble comes when Ricky runs into him separately and, unaware of the earlier instance, invites him to meet Lucy.
Right.
And then she has the putty on her nose. Mm-hmm. That was another accident because she's trying to shape the nose and everything so she looks a little bit different, you know? Mm-hmm. And the thing is that she then has a cigarette. Well, Bill Holden not only lights the cigarette, but now the putty is caught on fire on the nose, and the reaction is like, "Oh, what do I do?" And she blows it out, you know. But the reaction is honest. And
I know
genuine.
That scene. Yeah. That's an iconic. Yeah,
that
yeah.
is so iconic, yeah. so iconic. So there you go, guys. Those are the top 10 highest rated I Love Lucy episodes. I put up on our Facebook page. You know, what is your favorite I Love Lucy episode? Mm-hmm. So let us know what it is, and we'll talk.
And
about
if you want to see some fun Lucy stuff, the movie Rat Race.
Oh yeah!
Oh my gosh! A whole busload of Lucy lookalikes and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes,
he sabotages the driver because he needs the bus, and he gets on his drive-in, and and they're all
yeah,
it's hysterical.
yeah, very very funny, show. Very funny. And when they all cry at the same
they
time.
All cry,
oh my gosh! All right. Let's see here. Okay, I want to go through this real quickly. Where are we at on time?
11:16.
Oh, we're running short. Okay. Where is... Okay. Let's see here.
You want to rearrange? Go to your bit.
No, we'll come talk about this one. I think we'll drop the last one, though. So, department stores.
Yes.
Been around.
Mm-hmm.
Number of years. Unfortunately, a lot of them have disappeared through the years. You know, unfortunately, just through certain economic times. Maybe it was their time has come and gone. I know COVID has not helped at all whatsoever. And not to sound depressing or anything, but I mean, some of these numbers that I found were just amazing on how many stores are going to be closing this year.
Mm-hmm.
GNC stores, over 1,200 stores are going to be closing. Pier 1 Imports, 936. Men's Warehouse, one of the top places to, you know, go get suits and stuff and everything. They're gone, all 500 stores. They've completely closed down.
Wow.
GameStop, they're going to be closing at least 320 stores now.
Mm-hmm.
Signet Jewelers stores are closing also 300. Now, you may not know it as Signet Jewelers, but you know them as K Jewelers, Zales, Jared. They're all the same
all
company.
All the same company.
All the same company.
Oh, wow. How many are they closing?
300.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Bed Bath & Beyond, up to 260. Victoria's Secrets, up to 250. Gap Stores, 230. JCPenney's, which has been around since 1902. Almost non-existent now. 204 stores are going to be closing this year. Macy's, 125. Sears has been slowly dying a slow death. They're 130 years old. 51 stores. You know, so it's kind of scary. But I'm going to read off these stores for you, Steve, and see which ones you remember. Now, these are all stores that no longer exist. And these are strictly in Southern California, though. So, Boston stores. Do you remember Boston stores?
Vaguely, yes.
Okay. The Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
Big department store. Always shop there.
Yeah.
Buffums.
I remember the script, the FF. Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember it was written.
Okay.
Bullocks.
Okay. Now, what's interesting is Broadway and Bullocks both converted to Macy's.
Oh.
Okay. Fedco.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't spend a lot of time there, but I had been there.
It was like a card, like membership type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Fedmart,
I remember.
Gemco.
That was my favorite store of all time.
Okay. Harris and Frank's.
It was a men's store. Harris Frank. Vaguely rings a bell.
Okay. Now, there were only two of these stores around, though, but very popular. Henshaw's.
Didn't go to Henshaw.
Okay. Now, see, for me, I grew up with that because there was one in Arcadia and another one in Whittier. At the Quad. That's where I grew up at. Okay. May Company.
Oh, I remember May Company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to shop there all the time. Okay. May Company.
Mervyn's.
I always got my t-shirts at Mervyn's.
Obviously not enough t-shirts.
Pick and Save?
I know what it is. I never really went there.
Okay, of course, now it changed names, and now it's Big Lots.
Big Lots, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I do like Big Lots.
Yeah. Robinson's.
Robinson's. Yeah. It became Robinson's May.
May, right, yeah. Exactly.
That doesn't really count as being gone.
And then Macy's.
Macy's.
Well, now none of these exist anymore.
Macy's?
Well, no. It's turned into a Macy's, but I'm saying, but these other stores like Robinson's, May, Bullock's, Broadway, they don't exist anymore.
Oh, I hear. I see what you're saying.
And then the last one, and I vaguely remember this, Zody's.
Zody's. Yeah, I remember Zody's. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, it's just amazing on how many have gone, you know, in the last, let alone 20 years, let alone last 50 years. So...
Well, when I was a little kid in Highland Park, mm-hmm. on the main street on Figueroa, there was a store called Cortland's, and it was a big department store, and you could get anything there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a big... And in fact, I met the Beach Boys.
Oh, wow.
Just as they were releasing their first album, they were at Cortland's. And I got to go and meet him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of cool.
Autographs?
I can't remember if I did or not.
Oh, dude.
It would have been long gone by now. So.
Dude. Yeah.
I got banned from playing Bob Arand in my house.
I got a funny story about me going to a Jemco.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've told the story before. This is how naive I was as a child. So I'm sick. I'm throwing up. I got the flu, whatever, you know. And so I'm up at watching TV in the kitchen. It's the movie Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. With the Bee Gees, Peter Frampton, George Burns, Steve Martin. You know, it's an all-star cast kind of thing. The movie's not the greatest movie in the world, though, okay? But it's kind of fun to watch as a cult favorite. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching this movie, and I'm going, okay, I'm kind of recognizing some of these songs, but these other songs I don't recognize. It was my introduction to Aerosmith.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now a couple of weeks go by, and we go to Jemco. So my mom and dad are shopping or whatever, and I ask if I can go over to the record department, you know, when records actually existed. Yeah, sure, no problem. We're going to be over here. Okay, great. So I'm going through the records. And start with the A's. I did not get past the B's because I stopped at the Beatles.
The Beatles.
Because I picked up a record that said Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Ooh, like the movie.
And I ran over to my father. I said, Dad, look, remember that movie I saw or whatever? You know? He goes, yeah. I said, look, the Beatles copied it.
Oh, that's funny.
I had no freaking clue.
Yeah.
No freaking clue at all. And my father does one of those things where he just covers his eyes. Like, God, my head hurts. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, but that was my naivete at that age.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I just remember, those stores or whatever just... You know, they're kind of like a Kmart. You went there for everything, you know, whether it was fishing tackle stuff or, you know, it's kind of, you know, like we can look at Walmart today. You know, you've got the different departments, though. But to me, they seemed cooler back then. I don't know what it was, you know.
They were more localized, more individual, I think, and stuff.
Possibly. Because, I get my toys from there and everything and so forth and, you know, other things. So, but anyway, so that's our department store. Stuff so.
Yes.
Go out and celebrate department stores by going to the department stores that you miss that aren't even around that don't even exist anymore. So
I still have a Jemco card. In fact,
do you really?
Yes, I do.
Oh my God! Wow. Well, you know what? To close out the show, we've got one more sponsor here. Let me.
You have no idea this music is. It's like from movies of the 70s, like...
All right. Wait. Go ahead, stop real quick. All right. Did I give you the script, Steve?
I have it.
You have it?
I think.
Okay. All right.
Is that it?
Okay, I got to make sure.
I have two pages.
I forgot. Wait a minute, where's our...
This moment of silence is brought to you by Sean Roberts.
Yeah, not Casey this time.
Not Casey.
Not Casey. No way. All right.
Oh, so there's a third page.
Yeah, there is. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, it makes more sense now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You ready? You ready? Ready for this?
I am.
Okay. So, here, let's you know.
I think it's time that we had a little class.
No. A sponsor.
A sponsor.
This is our sponsor.
Okay.
See how it says ADDI sponsored bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, sponsor. Completely yeah,
sponsor.
Different.
Sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we take three on this? All right. Let's take three on this.
Which I don't even know who I am.
Yeah. So okay. I'll say you're. I'll be Dave.
Okay.
Okay. All right. You ready?
Let's
start over.
No idea.
All right. I know you don't. This is going lovely.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
As it should be.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Dave?
Well, what have you been up to? I haven't seen you around lately.
Oh, that's because I've been busy taking classes over at ADDI.
ADDI?
Yeah. The Attention Deficit Disorder something. I've struggled with attention deficit disorder for the majority of my life, and I thought I would never be able to go to college. But thanks to ADDI. Now I'm able to.
Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, me too. Because now I can major in things like computer science, math, longshoreman, history, origami, podcasting, and Bigfoot.
Bigfoot?
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking about Bigfoot. But the point is, thanks to ADDI, my future is wide open.
Well, how much does it cost to go to ADDI?
I think it's like $10,000 and... Hey, you know, that new James Bond movie looks pretty awesome, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, my sister has ADD, and, you know, it sounds like ADDI would be a great school for her.
Does she like mushrooms on her hamburgers?
Well, why do you ask?
No reason. I can just go for a mushroom burger. You know, it would be really cool if Jason from Halloween would go up against the Venom guy from Venom. Or maybe if James Bond teamed up with Venom to go after Jason or even the Addams family, but that really wouldn't work because they're a cartoon and James Bond is real. So anyway, are you in?
Huh? What are you talking about?
I'm going bowling with Gary. Didn't I mention that? I guess not.
I thought you had to study.
Screw school. I'm going to Europe. Oh, you know, I heard Mick Jagger is in Los Angeles. Maybe I'll go there.
But you live in Southern California.
Come to think of it, I don't want one of those burgers. I want to get one of those tacos with the Dorito shell.
Have you forgotten about ADDI?
Yeah, forget what I said about Europe. That was dumb.
ADDI is... Wait.
Hey, I got it so screwed up, you can't even do it now.
Actually, that's your line again.
I forgot it was in your... That was dumb. ADDI has some... I can't remember if I'm... Am I Mike or am I Dave? What character am I?
You're Dave.
You know, I'm gonna go home today and take a nap.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Hey, where's the campuses at?
Oh, the ADDI has three campuses to choose from: Colton, Gardena, and if they can make a taco shell out of a Dorito, don't you think they can make a pizza crust out of Cheetos?
Now that might be good.
I'll tell you what's good. ADDI. I haven't been late in 6 months.
Okay, then thanks for that information. I'll be sure to tell my sister about ADDI.
No, make that 11 years. Oh, okay. Say hi to Tracy for me.
Who?
Never mind. I meant to say Jim, but I don't think you know him.
Yeah, that went well. All right.
What the hell was that?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
I feel like I need to eat a hard-boiled egg for some reason.
I think you need a lot more than that right now.
What a strange craving.
Wow.
I think I need to eat a hard-boiled egg.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, you know what? I think that kind of wraps it up for us, guys. right, so don't forget, website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
It always struck me as odd that the Pirates of Caribbean DVD had a piracy warning.
ADDI, ladies and gentlemen. ADDI.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. All right. Yeah, he's having fun with that. All right, guys. Well, take care. Go out and have yourselves a good one. And, guys, don't forget, please listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. You can catch all of our past episodes, and you can also catch them on Lime City Radio at noon from Wednesday through Friday afternoon.
Don't forget to tell your friends about us, because we can't grow without you.
That's right. Help us spread the word about the show, guys. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, people you know in the PTA or maybe the YMCA.
Yeah, tell people who you haven't talked to in years. Yeah, tell them we dare you. Come on, do it.
Exactly.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
Just do it.
Yeah. Are we continuing on the live, on the Mixlr after this?
Yeah, we're fine. Boom. All right, guys. Take care. Have a good one. We'll catch you guys next week. Be good to each other.
Boom.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.